نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى محمد رسول الله والذين معه اشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سیماہم فی وجوہہم من اثر السجود صدق اللہ العظیم. Most respected elders and friends, the ayat that I've recited before you have been recited before you many times, but today I want to discuss a different angle and dimension of this particular ayat. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. He is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. Those people that were with the Rasul of Allah, the great, illustrious, amazing sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, four qualities they had in them. أَشِدَّا وَعَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. They were appropriately harsh on the kuffar. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. They never compromised in their love and sympathy and compassion with fellow believers. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا. You would see them all the time making ruku, making sujood, worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. And in doing so, whatever they do, they are seeking the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Their faces were so true, so truthful and honest, that you could see the sign of truthfulness on their faces. سِيمَاهُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِّنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Four qualities have been mentioned here, and each one of these qualities represent a value. In the first one, in dealing with people, with the disbelievers, they were appropriately harsh. With the believers, they gave their heart and soul and they were loving and compassionate. From this attitude, we understand that Sahaba were those that had their priorities of life in order. They knew what to do with certain people. The second, they were always engaged in the ibadat of Allah. They knew the aim and the objective of life. This is what I've been created for. To worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Third, they had ikhlas in them. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا. Whatever they did, their focus was Allah, the ridwan and the pleasure of Allah. And fourth, the effect of everything showed on their faces. They were sincere, honest people. Those were the Sahaba. These four qualities and these four values of the Sahaba was very clearly exhibited in the incident of Raji'. In the fourth year after Hijrah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinah Munawwara, there were two tribes from around the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah, the tribes of Adl and Qara. They came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that they have become Muslims. And before parting, they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that what about our people there, our nation, the Adl and Qara? They are also interested in Islam. If you only would send some of your companions, would jolt the spirit of these people's iman, and they would accept Islam and they would educate them as well. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always had this passion, this desire to educate the people, bring them into tawheed, bring them into iman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acceded to this request. And he then sent 10 sahaba with this delegation to the tribe of Adl and Qara to teach them and to educate them. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed a sahabi, Asim ibn Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, as the amir, as the leader of this delegation. Asim ibn Thabit was the grandfather of Abdullah ibn Umar, or so to say the nana of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. When this delegation of 10 people went on the way, there was the tribe of Huzail. They were from the branch of Banu Lahyan. They had to release some of their prisoners in Makkah, and they felt it's an ideal opportunity that this delegation of 10 people are here. Let's capture them and we could exchange them for our prisoners. And so they sent a group of 100 people. 100 of them were archers to go and capture this group of 10. In other words, it is 10 persons to 1. Asim radiallahu anhu and his group, they went, they were close by. And then these archers, 100 people from the tribe of Banu Huzail, they started looking. They were tipped off of these Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They started looking for them. They came to a certain place. They stationed at that place and they looked down. They saw khajur dates. They saw the seeds of the khajur in that place. Now Arabs were very good at that. They would just look at the seed of the date and they would know that from which part of the Arab land this date is from. They looked at this and they said, "This hada tamaru yasrib." That these dates are the dates from Medina. So it looks like the delegation passed in this way. And they followed that path. And not long after that, they surrounded Hazrat Asim radiallahu ta'ala and the delegation, the Sahaba. Asim radiallahu ta'ala and the Sahaba, they saw that these people are coming for them. They took refuge in a nearby hill. And these people from the tribe of Banu Lahyan, they were bottom of the hill. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu were there on the top of the hill. So tribe of Banu Lahyan told to them, "Anzil ilayna lakumul ahdu wal mithaq." Come down, we will give you people refuge. We're not going to harm you people. We are people of this particular area, we will give you refuge. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the leader of the group, "Amma ana fala anzil fi simmati kafir." Me, I don't hand myself over to a disbeliever. And he carried on fighting. From the top he started aiming, from the bottom they also started aiming, and there was exchange taking place. One can imagine, 10 to 100. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, before he passed away, now he knew the danger he was in, and I just want to take you one step behind. Asim radiallahu ta'ala, the Badri Sahabi, he took part in the Battle of Badr. There was a woman by the name of Sulafa. She came to the Battle of Badr with a husband and 3 sons. Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu was responsible for killing at least 1 or 2 sons of this woman Sulafa. In the Battle of Badr, Sulafa started looking for her husband and children, and she found all of them being killed. But one was on the last moment of life. She goes up to him and she asks him that she sucks the blood out of his forehead. "My son, who killed you? Who was the person that attacked you?" He was hardly able to talk, but he just mentioned Asim ibn Thabit. Sulafa took an oath at that time. "I will never be happy until I get the head of Asim. I will make it into a container, put wine and liquor inside there and drink from there to quench my thirst." Asim radiallahu ta'ala was well aware of this. There was a big prize given out for the head of Asim. He makes dua to Allah. "Allahumma inni ahmi laka deenak." "Allah, I'm looking after your deen." "Fahmi li lahmi." "Oh Allah, you now look after my deen. You look after my body." Asim, he knew the danger he is in. And then last moment, he knew that any time he's going to go. "Allahumma akhbir anna nabiyyana." "Oh my Allah, we are here in this place of danger. We are representing the Rasul of Allah. He sent us out. Allah, convey the message to our Rasul, what is happening to us." Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu then was attacked by one of the enemies. He then became shaheed. Then The other delegation that was there, the other Sahaba, six of them, well, our Amir fought till death, let us fight to death. They all fought to death. And then three of them came down, Abdullah ibn Tariq, Zayd ibn Dathina, Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I will continue with that after completing the incident of Asim, what had happened to him. The enemy of Islam heard Asim has been killed. And they were aware of the price tag on him. Big price tag. Sulafa was a very, very rich, wealthy woman. And everybody wanted to go for the money. So, fell, it is there. Before somebody else take the head of Asim, let us go and take the head. So, they went midday to go get the head of Asim. Asim, from the depth of his heart, he made dua to Allah, Allah, I protected your deen, you now protect me. Allah accepted his dua. And then he also made dua, Allah conveyed my message to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is happening to us. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what is happening to the delegation. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very sad and grieved at that. A few kuffar, they go to now to get chop out, remove the head of Asim from his body to present it to Sulafa to fulfill her wish to drink wine and alcohol from the Mubarak head of Asim. They go there. It was midday. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sent a lot of wasps around the body of Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now this kuffar are going because Mazlo, there's a big money involved for them in that. They would do anything to chop the head out. They're going nearby. One wasp is stinging someone, stinging them to such an extent that they could not get close to the body. And then they decided, look, it's midday, it's hot, that's why the wasps are here. Let us go away, and at night, we will come and remove the head and fulfill our wish. When they came at night, before that, just when night fell, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent down heavy torrential rains. And the body of Asim radiallahu ta'anhu was washed away. The kuffar went there. There was no body of Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is how Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protected Asim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The other two sahaba, Zayd ibn Dathina and Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn Dathina and Khubayb comes down, Abdullah ibn Tariq. Now the kuffar, they told, we're not going to ill-treat you people. We're going to give you a protection. We will look after you people. And they came down with that intention. No sooner they have been there with, they took the strings of their bows, or the kuffar took the string of their bows, and they started tying all three of them. So Abdullah ibn Tariq mentioned, Hada awwalul hadar. This is the first point of deception. For me, what my Amir did is the right thing. He refused to cooperate with them, they pulled him, dragged him, until he passed away. Two of them were left. Zayd ibn Dathina, Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu ta'ala, the Badri Sahabi. He was responsible of killing Umayyah in the battle of Badr. So Kufar took him in the marketplace of Makkah and sold him. And the children of Umayyah, they bought Zayd radiallahu ta'ala, Zayd ibn Dathina to avenge the death of their father. And the person that bought him was Safwan. When they decided immediately, he's our prisoner, let's take the revenge of our father and kill him immediately. So they took Zayd ibn Dathina to Tan'im. Because it's out of the Haram area, they took him in that area, and that was a place where they would kill people and, you know, do whatever they take, which is in keeping with the sanctity of the Haram. They wouldn't do anything in the Haram area. Something very amazing took place. When they are about to kill Zayd ibn Dathina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Sufyan, at that time he was the leader of the non-Muslims, he addressed Zayd ibn Dathina. And he told to him, أَتُحِبُّ أَن تَكُونَ مُحَمَّدْ فِي مَكَانِكَ وَأَن يُذْرَبْ عُنُوقَهُ. You are about to be killed. Your wife is about to become a widow. Your children are about to become orphans. You have friends and associates. You have so much to live for in this world. Why do you need to die in this pitiful state? Don't you wish, instead of your life being taken away, the life of Muhammad being taken away? Now bear in mind, put ourselves in that situation. What we would probably do and see what the Sahabi done. His heart was saturated with iman. Every blood, every vessel, every cell of a sahabi was filled with iman. So Zayd ibn Dasina immediately responded and he told Abu Sufyan, "Man uhibbu an usiba Muhammad shawkatan afayuzihi wa huwa fi makanihi alladhi fi." He said, leave aside Muhammad's life being taken away in my place. That's a very far-fetched thing. Even whilst I'm in this condition, I'm aware that my wife is going to become a widow. My children are going to become orphans. I'm aware that what's the consequences. I'm aware spears will be hitting me left, right and center and my body will be bruised and wounded. But with all that, I can't bear tolerating that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in his house and even a thorn would prick the Mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the love that the Sahaba had and it was the level of iman. And the kuffar heard all that arrogance of Zayd. He's about to be killed and he's still answering like that. They started calling out, "Uktulu, uktulu, kill him, kill him." Abu Sufyan, he stepped in. And then he made a very profound statement. He told to all the people, "We're going to kill him, that's fine. But ma ra'aytu ahada min nas yuhibbu ahad kama yuhibbu ashab Muhammadin Muhammada." He says that I haven't seen anyone that loves their colleagues as much as the Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad. That was the extent. This is what, at that time, Abu Sufyan was a non-Muslim and he was aware how the Sahaba loved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zayd ibn Dasina, his life was then taken away. And last person was left was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala also Badri Sahabi. And he killed in the Battle of Badr Haris, one of the leaders of the Kufar. So his family bought him out to avenge the blood of their father. And they decided, unlike the situation of Zayd, they should keep Khubayb in prison for some time. They left him, and he was actually by the house of a woman called Zaynab, who was the daughter of Haris. He was there, but he was kept as a prisoner there. When the time came to take his life away, they informed him that your time for death is near, we are deciding now, we will kill you. Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala realized this is my last moment of life. So he asked for the household that he was staying in, Zainab, he asked for a razor blade so that he could remove his unwanted hair, prepare himself to meet Allah. He did that, and the family, the household, they were unaware. There was a small baby in the house. And sometimes very difficult to control babies. You don't know where they go, how they slip out, and where they went over to. So, one child, Zainab's child, small baby, crawled and went away right by Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. And bear in mind, Khubayb has a razor blade. And bear in mind that he's going to be killed anytime. So, when the child went away by Khubayb, Khubayb took the child, put the child on the lap. And the mother was looking for the child, suddenly she saw the child on the lap of Khubayb, and she got a shock. There's a prisoner, I just gave him a razor blade, he's about to be executed and killed, and my child is right on the lap. Khubayb looks at the anguish on the face of the mother. And she tells her mother, "You think that I'm going to kill this child? This child never did me anything. He's a masoom child. I'm a person of value. I won't just kill the child for no reason." He showed piyar and love to the child and handed the child over back. Subhanallah. This was Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The same woman, Zainab, she after that, she became a Muslim because she saw the conduct and she saw few things about Khubayb. All that time engaged in salah. Ruku, sujood. She says, "I would see him all the time crying." It wasn't just crying out of fear of death. It was crying because of ta'alluq with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. "I would see him all the time doing that." And then what is most surprising, she says, "One day I saw grapes, fresh grapes." Khubayb was tied in chain. Fresh grapes in front of Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And You see, wa ma bi Makkah min 'inab. In Makkah there was no grapes. Grapes don't grow in Makkah. Where the grapes come from? Where did it came? Then she says, wa ma huwa illa rizqun razaqahu Allah. Allah was providing Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, why the prisoner chained up, Allah was providing him rizq from his side. Similar to what Allah speaks about Maryam alayhi salam. Anna laki haza. Zakaria saw in the room that she's got fruit. Where this came from? She told, this is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. How Allah dealt with Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam with the sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah dealt with Khubayb in that way. Finally, when the time came to take the life of Khubayb away, he told him. He couldn't compromise. There's no such thing as compromising. For them, it's an honor. But just allow me to read 2 rakah salah. Imagine, about to be died, about to be killed. Leave me 2 rakah salah. Say, what does it matter to us? You read. He read 2 rakah salah. Probably if it was someone else, they would have read 2 rakah that would start from the morning till the evening. He read 2 rakah short. Very short. And he told to them, he addressed them, had y'all not thought that I was fearful of death, then I would have increased my salah. But I deliberately read it short so that you don't think that I'm fearful of death. And then he makes this ash'ar in this poetry. فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا عَلَىٰ أَيِّ جَنْبٍ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مَسْرَعِي وَذَٰلِكَ فِي ذَاتِ الْإِلَٰهِ إِيَّ شَأْ يُبَارَكْ فِي أَوْصَالِ شَلْوٍ مُمَزَّعِي. See the poems? A sahabi saying in the last moments of his life. فَلَسْتُ أُبَالِي حِينَ أُقْتَلُ مُسْلِمًا. You're going to kill me, doesn't matter. As long as I die in the state of Islam, I don't care which side my body falls, on the right and the left. It's my hope that Allah put barakah in every limb of my body. And see how Allah accepted his dua. They killed him. He also made dua, and he counted Allahumma ahsihim adada, and whatever it is, with the dua we normally make in Qunut and Nazila. They killed him. Then they decided to teach a lesson to everybody. They took his body and they hanged it for everybody to pass by to look. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. heard about this in Madinah to Munawwara. Nabi Kareem s.a.w. sent, after a few days, then according to some narration, maybe 40 days too, that he sent Miqdad radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, go and fetch, somehow make a plan and get the body of Khubayb. And when they go there, they made a plan. It was at night when they found the guards were unaware. So Miqdad and Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they quickly took the body of Khubayb and they started proceeding. They put it on the animal back and they started proceeding. When these guards woke up, they said, oh, the body is not here. What happened? They're going to be now questioned. And they went searching. When they came, they found that Miqdad and Zubair, they were traveling. Now they knew Miqdad and Zubair felt they're going to get caught. So what they did, they tawakkul on Allah, they took the body of Khubayb and left it on the ground. And before the enemies could get the body of Khubayb, now remember Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala made dua, that, oh Allah, I hope that Allah will put barakah in every limb of my body. Before the kuffar could get the body, the ground opened up and swallowed Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. And that's why Khubayb's title is Bali'ul Ard. That person that had been swallowed by the earth, and Allah ordered the earth to protect Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. I just want to take it one step further. Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala. You know what happened in Raji? One is that the kuffar killed. They were happy, they were satisfied. But when anything somebody sacrifices for the pleasure of Allah, there's always positive consequences. Something good comes out of it. And in this case, there was one youngster there witnessing what is happening to Khubayb. His name was Sa'id ibn Amir. He was 15 years old, and everybody called him, come and witness, see what's happening. It's an enjoyable moment, time for celebration, time for revenge. So he says, when he saw everything as a young boy, the one thing came to his mind, why would the person just die like that? He said that Khubayb's sacrifice taught me the priority of life is to make ibadat. He then accepted Islam. And then I want to take you for probably a couple of years ahead. At the time of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the same Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala, Sa'id ibn Amir, He was appointed as the governor in Hims. Hims at that time was known as Kuwaifa, small Kufa, because it was a very well developed place. Umar radiallahu ta'ala came to Sham to Hims, and he met Sa'id ibn Amir. Umar radiallahu had a habit of inspecting and finding out from the people about the governors. So people had some complaints about Sa'id ibn Amir. The first complaint is that he only comes out from his home, you know, after daylight, not like early in the morning, that after sunrise he comes out. You know, the governor is supposed to come out early in the morning. Second complaint, he doesn't see anyone at night. Third complaint, one day of the month he doesn't even serve us. One day of the month, not Saturday, Sunday, one day of the month he doesn't serve us. And last, sometime when he's sitting in a gathering, his health is not right. He just falls unconscious. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala asked Sayyid ibn Amir that answer all these questions. He said, okay, right. The first one, now I'm giving this thing because they are youngsters here and we are hearing this incident of the Sahaba. What was the impact of one youngster and how of witnessing what happened to Khubayb and what was the impact in his life? So Sayyid ibn Amir answered to Umar radiallahu ta'ala, you know, why only come out after sunrise? I got no khadim. I got nobody to serve me. I have to make my own cook. I have to cook my own food and I have to prepare my own roti. So I use that time. Governor. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, that was my thought about you. Second, and at night when you don't see anyone, you're a governor, you're supposed to sacrifice. Say, I dedicated my day to serve the people, my night I dedicated for Allah. The third, why once a month you don't come out? Oh Umar, I only got this one set of clothing. I can wait for 29 days, more than that I can't. So one day of the month, I have to take it out, I have to be in privacy, wash it until it dries, and then I can come out. And the last, and why do you fall unconscious? He says that whenever I'm sitting among the people, that incident that happened in Tan'im where Khubayb was killed, always plays in my mind. It always plays in my mind. And the only regret I had, that as a youngster, why I didn't do anything to defend the life of Khubayb. Why I didn't do anything to defend the life of Khubayb. That the regret comes into me and I fall unconscious. And lastly, what happened? That woman in whose house they were staying, Khubayb, Zainab, she became a radiallahu anha. She also accepted Islam. And let's take it one more step further. The actual person that killed Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uqba ibn Harith. In the book of Bukhari Sharif, his title Abu Saru'a by Uqba ibn Harith. He also accepted Islam. And what Islam? What Islam? The greatest mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that one is somebody with good character and conduct accept Islam. One is that to convert a murderer to as a Muslim and that to the highest level of taqwa. And look at the taqwa of the murderer of Khubayb. He accepts Islam. In Bukhari Sharif, there's an incident in the first volume and the second volume about Uqba ibn Harith. He was married to a woman in Makkah. Somebody came and told him, how you could marry that woman? That is your foster sister. And it's not permissible in Sharia to get married to your foster sister. How do you get married to her? There's all technical issues involved in there. But what Uqba ibn Harith did, from Makkah, he traveled to Medina, and even he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Imratun Sauda, she's tell this dark-skinned woman, she's saying that I got married to my foster sister. She breastfed me and she breastfed my wife. That means we can't stay together. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just looked at Uqba ibn Harith. Bear in mind, he was a murderer. Bear in mind, he killed Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He accepted Islam, and look at his level of taqwa. If we are put in a situation of doubt, we look for some kind of interpretation this way, that way, and we try to get out of it. He traveled from Makkah, came to Medina to ask clarity from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that to what answer Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him? Kayfa waqad qil? Kayfa waqad qil? Oh, Uqba, how can you carry on with this marriage when this is already said about the marriage? The point is that look at that Khubayb radiallahu ta'ala incident. And anybody that is truthful, anybody that is honest, it had a big impact in their lives. Respected elders and friends, for the past few days, We've been talking about various Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is so clear, these are amazing personalities. We hear this incident, the only purpose and objective is to inspire us, strengthen our iman, and strengthen our bond with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala put the great love of the Sahaba into our hearts, and through the Sahaba, we follow the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we bond ourselves with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Inshallah, after Ramadan, on Thursday night majlises, we will continue with the series of the Sahaba. There's so many Sahaba to speak about, and then we will talk about them, and inshallah, through that we hope to get